Good morning. Welcome. And I hope you have your Bible with you and open. You can open it to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be looking at those first three verses of that chapter. As we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together to engage you in your word as we would seek to worship you. Father, you are truly worthy of all praise. And Lord, we thank you that you loved us beyond our sin all the way to the cross of Calvary, where you showed us mercy and extended us grace, that Jesus would be our substitute, that he would pay the penalty for our sin. And Father, as we spend this time together in your word, we pray that the Holy Spirit leads us and that we commit this time to you for your purposes, for your kingdom's sake. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking today, as we look into Hebrews chapter 12, we're looking today at, again, the thinking about faith, actually, is the theme. And today's message I've entitled The Righteous Focus by Faith. Let's look at those first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Imagine the person entering eternity thinking life was all about him, that he was the focus of the universe. What a wake-up call to discover that the Bible is true after all. Jesus is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. No earthly ruler, real or pretend, will ever take his place. There was a day when Jesus arrived like an earthly king. Crowds welcomed him with practices reserved only for royalty. They spread their coats along the ground, waved palm branches in the air, and sang praise songs. The people expected a political takeover, and supernaturally, if necessary, a palm branch in the Middle East is viewed just like a political rally sign. In fact, Israeli currency has a palm branch printed on it. Let's visit that scene, that ancient scene in Matthew chapter 21, verses 6 down to verse 16. It says, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?" Don't overlook God's gift of grace through His Son. Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Jesus as if He's just a parade going by, enjoying the parade, but missing the main events. Don't miss Jesus. Don't overlook His gift of grace. First of all, don't miss Jesus by focusing on your own plans. Verses 10 and 11. "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" See, the people welcomed Jesus like a rising military or political figure, and they offered him their devotion. But when they were asked who Jesus was, they responded, "He is the prophet of Nazareth." They walked with the Son of God, but weren't aware of it. Why? They had their eyes fixed on themselves. Some were tired of being ruled by the Romans and saw Jesus as their ticket out of occupation. Some were tired of a disability or a disease and saw Jesus as a miracle machine. Some were hungry and heard that Jesus could stretch food supplies. It hasn't changed. In addition to the ones mentioned, some in prison see Jesus as a way of release. Some in personal relationship crisis see Jesus as the ultimate psychologist. Jesus is still in the miracle working business, but if that's all Jesus is seen for, he will be missed. When the crisis is over, he's no longer needed. Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, has sold millions of copies and has impacted millions of people around the world because people want to know, what is my purpose? How can I be more fulfilled? Interestingly, the first sentence of that book, The Purpose-Driven Life, is, it's not about you. And it's not about you. Jesus is interested in you and loves you more than you can understand. But He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is worthy of our worship. We have been created to worship Him, not the other way around. So don't miss Jesus by focusing on your own plan. Second, don't miss Jesus by failing to deal with sin. Verses 12 and 13, "Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The purpose of the triumphal entry of Jesus was to provide salvation for sinners. And we were the targets of His plan. He wasted no time in cleansing the temple. Jesus made room for people who couldn't get near the building for years. The temple is a picture of how sin has separated us from God. It was a series of fences and do not enter signs. The heart of the temple was the Holy of Holies, where only one man could enter, and only on one day of the year. Who couldn't enter there? Every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world, and all but one of the priests. The holy place and the courtyard were the other rooms of the temple, and only chosen priests could enter there. Anyone not in the priesthood would ever be allowed in that place. In the rest of the temple, Jewish men were welcome, but not Jewish women. There was an observation place for them. All other races and nationalities and any children were forbidden inside the temple. The large courtyard outside the temple building was also for Jewish people, but no one unclean could be there, which ruled out anyone with diseases or disabilities. Non-Jewish people, the Gentiles, could come near the courtyard, but only as far as a dividing fence. They could see the religious activity from a distance, but couldn't be a part of it. It was in that Gentile area that the merchants were trading, at the closest possible point. They made deals with people needing a sacrifice for worship. They made a quick profit from the currency exchange rates. The animals they held nearby made noises and created an unpleasant odor. The activity created an atmosphere that hindered worship. It was certainly no place of prayer. Noisy and hectic. When Jesus arrived on Palm Sunday, He changed it all for one day. He chased out the money changers and the animal sellers, and it was suddenly quieter. He healed those looking for miracles, and the children came too. What's the point? What was the point? If you ever feel, and if you've ever felt out of the presence of God, feel that way no more. Jesus came to solve your problem. And what's your problem? It's sin. It's all of our problem. If you've ever felt unworthy to join the worshipers, join them now. Jesus came to solve your problem, sin. Jesus went after the lowest, the least, and put them right in the middle of the place that was off limits. And healing happened and miracles occurred. The work of God was on display in the place where God was to be worshipped. It was a simple yet profound illustration to communicate the truth. God loves you and has focused on making sure you know that truth. So first, don't miss Jesus by focusing on your own plans. Don't miss Jesus by failing to deal with sin. And third, don't miss Jesus by ignoring God's message. Verses 15 and 16. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? The biggest test is at the end of life, when we meet the God who created us. The answer we give will reveal if we've listened for God's voice and obeyed. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 down to verse 3, it says, Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The truth is, we won't escape God's judgment of sin if we ignore the salvation of Jesus Christ. What more could God have done for us? What more could God have done to show us the way? The cross was in plain view of all those who passed during that week of Jesus' triumphal entry. And it's still in plain view of people today. There'll be no excuses accepted from those who have heard the gospel message and ignored it. There will be no excuses accepted from those who had a chance to consider the truth and found other things to do. Well, let me ask you, will you give Jesus your life today? We all are certainly in the place where we need Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and Lord. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Paul said in Romans 3:23. And then in Romans 6:23 he said, The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. That's because God loves us. He loves us so much that even though we are sinners, even though we've been rebellious to Him and His ways, He loves us and He wants us to be in fellowship with Him. He wants us to no longer be at odds with Him. He wants us to spend eternity with Him in heaven, not spend an eternity apart from Him in hell for the punishment of our sin. And because He loved us that much, He sent Jesus Christ. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us that much. And He wanted to deal with our sin problem. We couldn't do it ourselves because He only accepts a perfect and sinless sacrifice to pay the penalty for sin. And there's not a man from Adam until today who is without sin, who is perfect. But there is one, Jesus Christ. God sent Him to be the perfect sacrifice, to go to the cross and pay our penalty in our place, so that we don't have to suffer the pain that He did on our behalf. Our blood doesn't have to be shed as His was to pay for our sin, to pay that death penalty that we deserved. And the wonderful thing is God did not call us or wait for us to get to a certain place where we're acceptable. He didn't wait for us to get good enough. He didn't tell us to get cleaned up enough in order to grant us the benefit of that payment, that substitute. No, Paul said in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we're still in our sin, and what we need to do is we need to come to that place in faith where we believe that Jesus died for us, and we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, victorious over death, able to give us victory over death for eternity. Paul said in Romans 10:9-10, "For if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness." But even believing and confessing that belief falls a little short, because Scripture says that the demons believe and they tremble. No, we need to actively reach out and receive it for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Paul said in Romans 10:13. Will you give Jesus your life today? Will you do that by faith? It's a simple prayer, but you need to pray, acknowledging to God that you're a sinner and that you deserve His punishment for sin in hell for eternity, and asking Him, because of Jesus dying for you and being raised from the dead, asking Him to forgive you. And Scripture demonstrates that if you do that, that you will be saved. You will have the hope of eternal life. You will be able to be looking forward for an eternity in heaven with God. Would you give Jesus your life today? Pray with me. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You sent Jesus. He came our way. He passed by before us. But He came looking for us. And Father, pray that each one of us, everyone watching or listening to this message, would in their heart before You acknowledge their sin, their rebellion against You, acknowledge their belief that Jesus died for them and rose from the dead, and that they would ask for forgiveness. And Father, that You would give them grace to do that, to take that step in their life. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for Your love. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You have a wonderful day. May the Lord bless you.